quite welcome. That's one of the major purposes of the net, to have people either check in if they happen to be hams with 2-meter equipment, or if they're out there in that vast listening audience, then they can write in to us. But one of the major purposes of the net is to answer questions. We always welcome people who bring information or who bring comments, and we really appreciate people who bring in queries, because this gives us a chance to really tap the talent that is out there. Okay, good to have you with us. Let's go over to Curtis. I don't know whether we finished with you before, Curtis, but I know when Bob broke in, we switched over to him. So back to you, Curtis. All yours.
I tried not to ruin it for Frank. I left you some information to talk about in the flyer. He mentioned an important thing he just said that you didn't catch. The radio goes up to 512 megahertz. And I don't know, he said something about his friends have cell phones, and, you know, it's not really right to listen to it over there. It's against the law. But there's another scanner in the same family. It's called the BTC-7, which I haven't really seen it advertised in the local stores around here yet, but on some of the shopping channels on TV. And that particular radio goes for about anywhere between $157 to $299, which is the upgraded version of the Bearcat 350A. Radio Shack has a unit that they sell, but it doesn't come with any of the extras. You got to buy a power supply, you have to buy a DC power cord, you have to buy the bracket, but the Bearcat 350 and the BT7, it comes with all the accessories for that price. Let's give you, for instance, Radio Shack here has a unit for $149.99 on sale, which goes from 29 megahertz to 956 megahertz, less the cell band, but you'll still get images in the cell band or the cell phone range, even though it says less the cell phone. So we'll let them fool you with that. You'll get the image part of the frequency, and that's a true frequency, but you'll still hear those cell frequencies. But the Bearcat 350 will only go up to 512 megahertz. Back to net control and to WWR. I hope we'll clear that up.
Thank you, Curtis, for that fill, as we like to say. All right, Curtis stole Frank's thunder. He stole my thunder, because Curtis knows I get the same flyer. As I was going through the Radio Shack flyer, I was stunned when I saw this one scanner, which I'll tell you about very shortly. And the first word that came into my brain was UGH, UGH. And maybe when we get into product news, whatever, every week we should come up with the UGH of the week. And this is what I nominate as the UGH of the week for this one. Radio Shack is selling. They said it costs $120, I believe them, and now it costs $80. It's a 10-channel home scanner. Well, the first thought I had is that if I have a home scanner, I really don't want only 10 channels. That really isn't anything. So that's the first turned off. And then I looked at the frequency range. Here are the two frequency ranges. First frequency range is 137 to 174. It starts at 137, goes up to 174. The second frequency range is 406 to 512, and they're charging $80 for it, 10 channels. And I suggest that gets the award for the UGH of the week. Let me drop it.
CRA.
Yes, Frank.
Anna. Right, Ed? Into WWN.
Okay, we must have double Curtis. Over to Frank.
Thank you, Ed. Let me see if I have it. Okay, into VRA. I think there's a misprint on it, and they left something out. I believe that one also covers 30 to 50. This is the most basic coverage you can get, 30 to 50, and then the other ranges that you mentioned, up to 512. I believe it does cover the low band. I second nominate the second UGG of the catalog is that horrendous scanner, 16 channels, and it gives you 800 megs. That's really useful, I can tell you. Absolutely. And that's the second UGG from that catalog. The other one they're pushing on the top of the page, I don't have the catalog in front of me, it's already been in the recycling can since earlier this afternoon, is the one that they're pushing, monitor trunk system with the HyperScan. And, of course, that unit doesn't have a data skip. So that's a problem in itself. And it doesn't have any lockouts in the search range. However, the one on the bottom of the page gets a big plus because that one has data skip. And that's the 100-channel unit. And it also has the lockout the search feature, which is exemplified there in the ad, if I recall. But again, that one, the one for 100 channels, they could easily put 200 channels in there and sold it at the regular price. It wouldn't have been a halfway decent deal. But that's the way they're marketing these radios. They're chintzing you. They're taking one from another and something from this and adding to that. I mean, if you look at the array of scanners that are in the 96 catalog, it's just crazy the way that they're set up. And there's also the event scanner is also being advertised. That's the one I had mentioned a while back on the net when it first came out. It's not in the catalog because it's something new. And that's comparable to the SportCat. The Univen SportCat, it has these 10 selective frequencies that you can bring up real quick, for such as the sporting events, whatever. And, all right, so that gets an UGG also, but the price isn't so hot on that. Anyway, back to you, Ed, and I do have some additional info when you get to me, including one product over here, which might be of interest to some beginning scanner, as we call it, N2VRA back to net.
Thank you, Frank, for all that. We will pick you up next on product info. And let's go back to Curtis and see if Curtis had something that he was mentioning there before while we doubled. Enter WWM in the net, WB2RBA.
Very good. Well, what I was trying to say was that the one you give the UGG award, the $80 scan, which is a 10-channel home scan, I would say... that they should sell that scanner for $10. It's only 10 channels. You pay for what you get. You know, a dollar a channel. Ed, back to net, N2WWM.
That's what they should do. You know, it's like you buy potatoes by the pound, you should be able to buy a scanner by the channel. One last thing is, at least on the catalogs, I got in the mail another catalog from Daymark. I think that's the way you pronounce it, or it's Denmark or whatever. But when I bought the second Bearcat, I bought it from Denmark, courtesy of Curtis's information on it. And once you buy something from them, you are on their list. And I find I'm on other mailing lists now, and I wonder if it's all related to my friends at Denmark. But they did send out a flyer, and they have a 10-channel handheld scanner, and unfortunately they do not give the frequency ranges, but it's $59.99. They give a manufacturer's suggested retail price, which I have no confidence or faith in such prices anymore, but that's supposed to be $170. But you have 10 channels, one touch weather, comes with an AC adapter, which is a plus, and it's factory service. In other words, somebody had it once and brought it back. So, but again, you don't pay the tax, and in this case, you're not paying for the shipping either. So if somebody was desperate for a 10-channel scanner, you could buy that. Apropos of nothing. Let's go back to Frank with product information. Enter VRA. Take it away.
All right, Ed, N2VRA. Just a little note over here. from the J.C. Whitney catalog. It's an automotive mail order house. And they do have some radio stuff and a little scanner tidbits here and there in the back. I got one of their flyers just yesterday. And what they're selling is the wind antenna, the scanner antenna. It covers from 25 to 1300 meg. Kind of a porcupine looking type antenna. It's not that very, it's not big. It's made of aluminum. The good thing is it's 1995 and it comes with 25 feet of cable. So for a beginner, this is an excellent antenna at the right price. And anyway, J.C. Whitney, the phone number to order, give this out quick. Area code 312-431-6102. 312-431-6102. And that's in catalog number 90JF, Juliet Foxtrot. And the catalog number is Oscar 03TJ, Paul Juliet, 593 Baker, 03TJ, 9593B. 1995 for shipping and handling and no tax because it's coming from Chicago. And that's it for that. So it looks pretty interesting. The price is right for a beginner. Comes with the cable too, 25 feet. So you don't have to have an extra long cable run to get good results with that. And it does cover again from 25 to 1300 megs on 1.3 gigs. And I have some. I've got an article over here I'd just like to comment on. I don't know if I should do that now or I'll just wait a little bit, along with my AM stuff, Ed. Put me in line, whatever. WV2RVA and 2VRA.
WWM comment.
Okay, Frank and Katja, and don't forget, you and I, Frank, will be talking at the end of the net on that cover letter. Back to Curtis. Take it away.
Trying to find out... I mean, I haven't ordered anything from J.C. Whitney in a while. I remember their shipping was quite outrageous. I'm trying to just figure out if I could do this fast. Goes by zip code prefix, which tells you what the zone is. You look at the back of the catalog. If I remember, it goes by the amount of how much the unit is. So if the unit is between 15 and 24.99, taking a wild gab at this, forget what zone we're in, but if we're in zone 5, for instance, the cost of the shipping is going to be like $7.30. Frank, you can correct me if I'm wrong with that zoning. I don't know what the zoning is for our zip code here on Long Island. But it seems to me that their shipping is very high priced for J.C. Whitney. Unless you're buying a lot of stuff from the catalog. And you got to also remember there's not an 800 number. You're calling Chicago. And it's a toll call. Back to Matt, NCWWM.
Okay, Curtis, thank you for that. And I think, Frank, did you say you had more product information? I'm looking at all the scribbles here. Frank, do you have more product info? Or would your next venture be the AMDX?
Ed, what I have is, well, first of all, I'm finished with the product info. I have one article over here I'd like to give out. I think it's good info. And the AMDX, I have that coming up. But just quickly to answer Curtis's question, the shipping, all right, it's about $2 or so more than what I guess you'd normally pay. But we're in Zone 5, Long Island. And it works out to $7.30 for the shipping. So the antenna will cost you about $27 with the cable. Still not a bad deal. It comes to your house, and it's a pretty decent antenna with that kind of coverage. And it's aluminum. It looks very durable. I saw one time on top of some store somewhere. It's a funny looking thing. Looks like you take the chairs. You take the legs off a chair. Take the legs off the kitchen chair, Curtis. Your wife won't mind.
and just, you know, take three legs and stand them up in a cone, and then take another three legs off another chair and have them facing downwards and tie them together with a piece of string. That's what it looks like. And I heard that it's pretty good. Somebody had mentioned that a long time ago. That Dan Ken has been around for quite a while. But as far as the price goes, it's pretty good. Okay, Ed, I'm running the reel over here. Let me turn it back to you. I have AM info, and I also have a little article that I'd like to put out, which I think is good info. Back to you, N2VRA.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, let me just go off to the fan mail again a little bit and keep those people on board. I don't know if Brian, N2VB, BBF, is listening or if he's taping or whatever. But I just want to remind Brian it's April, and the people were getting a little antsy about the book that we were going to be making a group buy on. So if you're out there, Brian, or if you're listening on tape and so forth, it's April, and maybe we can start to move to what we were planning to do. Thank you. Got a note here from Ed from Cedarhurst, and he had raised a question a few weeks ago about the AR-8000 scanner. And then he says, for your information, let me just run through this, but it's interesting. From the research I have done, I conclude that the modification Grove does for around $40 to the U.S. version of the AR-8000 to restore cellular is not actually a physical modification. From what I understand, there is software inside this radio that can be reconfigured by using a PC with an interface and a program called SCAT-CAT Gold. You can, quote, reprogram, end quote, the AR-8000 band plan. ScanCat. ScanCat also allows you to take frequencies from a database program such as Percon Spectrum and download them directly into the AR-8000, saving you from physically having to punch in 477.2125, enter, for example. This does seem to be the scanner of all scanners. I hope I'm not making a mistake trading in my simple Pro 43. I'll keep you guys informed. For the record, Gene Hughes of Police Call used this unit and says he loves it. But then again, Gene is the head scanner guru. So let me just drop that. An interesting note from Ed from Cedarhurst.
CRA, comment, please.
Frank, with your comment, go.
Okay, what I wanted to make a point of is this. There are certain scanners that are not, you cannot import them legally because they have cell coverage, etc. Jupiteri, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I tried Jupiter, but it didn't work. It begins with a Y as in Yankee. The Jupiteri, and there's a few other scanners in the that I've seen in catalogs that cannot be imported because of the type of coverage that they can get. However, there's been specific notations in reference to, and I underline this, and quote, the RS-232 serial port is FCC not accepted, which simply means that if you have a radio that has access to the RS-232, you shouldn't have your hands on it. It should be illegal to have. Now, that really sounds crazy, but that's the truth. That is the RS-232 is what's keeping the other scanners from being imported, yet the AOR is sold here with no problem and has that input. And I'm just wondering how they get around that. And because that's the RS-232 serial port is the stickler that prevents the importation of those other radios. And I'm being redundant here, but I'm just making a point. I can see, as was mentioned with the ScanCat Gold, how easy it is to download that information into the radio. So, I would believe that kind of modification could be done, considering the cloning capabilities of the radio. And also, again, with the RS-232 port. And it's not FCC type accepted, but somehow it gets in here. That's my comment, Ed. Back to you.
Thank you, Frank. I guess they have good lawyers or good programmers, one or the other. All right, let me move to the last piece of scan mail, fan mail for the night. And this is from James in Elmont, who has been a good correspondent over the past year or two. A couple of items. Number one, what's the phone number for COPPA, COPPER, electronics catalog? And just to show you the confidence he has in you guys, James goes on to say, I think that Curtis into WWM or Frank into VRA should have the number so that I can get the catalog. They sell scan and CB stuff and some other stuff. Would anybody have the phone number for COPPA electronics? All right, did I step on somebody?
WWM.
Okay, you got it, Curtis?
And there was somebody else in there, too, but I didn't hear them either. I just had to go scuffling around for my April issue of Monitoring Times. And if you look at page 95, it's right there. And if you wish, I'll give you the number.
Sure. Please go.
Oh, for a free catalog. You can call 1-800-626-6343. 800-626-6343. You also have an internet address, too. But I'm not giving that out because I don't have a computer. So, but it's on page 95 of this month's Monitoring Times. Back to net, into WWM.
Thank you very much, Curtis. I'm sure James will appreciate that. Second question of James is, how many envelopes do I have left so that you don't run out of them and that I can keep getting the great newsletter from you? And then I can send you more envelopes. Let me know in the scanner net when you get a chance. And the answer, James, I'll keep explaining this. I don't know. We have this big box on the floor, and I keep all the envelopes together. And generally speaking, when I come to the, like if somebody is running out of envelopes and it looks like the last envelope, I'll write a little thing on the outside of the envelope and say, send SASEs. I have no idea how many envelopes anybody has. It's really up to the member to keep track. I do try to help with that, I'll mark last SASE, something like that. Good luck. And the last one is for Hank and 2GCN. And Hank, it's shortwave, so let me give you the question now, and then when we get to the shortwave portion, if you could answer it then, we'd appreciate that. So James's last question is, ask Hank about some shortwave stations that I can listen to from Cuba and Iraq, Iran, and China. When he gets time in the net, that would be broadcast in English only. So the four countries, Cuba, Iraq, Iran, and China, all good friends of the United States, broadcast in English only. You do not have to respond right now, Hank, when we get to that segment. Okay, let me go back to Frank with the article, and then I guess, Frank, go into AMDX, because I believe we have taken care of all the product info. All right, then to VRA in the net, WB2RBA.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ed. This article here, I'm sure you've read this, as maybe several other people have also, but I'm just highlighting it again. In Newsday Saturday, this past Saturday, March 30th, on page A13, Alpha 13, Dispatch System in Good Time is the title. Suffolk Police hail new computer after several false starts. And after 15 years of false starts and millions of dollars, Suffolk Police yesterday finally unveiled a long-awaiting computerized system to save crucial minutes in the dispatching of police cars. In a news conference at the department, Jap Hank Headquarters, County Executive Rob Gaffney and Police Commissioner Peter Cosgrove hailed the That's what it is, a computer-aided dispatch system in operation for the past 3 weeks, which will replace the response time will be cut to 2 to 3 minutes, Gaffney said, and this will mean the difference between life and death in certain instances. Under the new system, emergency operators will ask for a caller's phone number. Once that number is entered into the computer, the caller's name, address, and police sector and other information will immediately be displayed, cutting down dramatically on time spent on calls. Once that information is available, it will move automatically to dispatcher's computer screens for handling. And that's the article about the CAD, computer-aided dispatch system, now online with the Suffolk PD. Drop. Okay, then to VRA. I'll go into the AM, information, medium wave broadcast information. And what it has to do is, of course, the baseball season has started up. And you, if you don't have a GE Super Radio 3, but if you have a radio boombox or some kind of halfway decent radio with at least a 4-inch ferrite bar antenna inside, that'll help, at least a 4-inch. You should be able to pick up quite a few baseball stations within a reasonable range, especially at night. During the day, you won't get them. But some of the stations that you should be... give them out with the teams. I'll go very quickly over here. Let me drop. The Atlanta Braves, WSB, 7:50 a.m. 7:50 a.m. WSB for Atlanta Braves. Baltimore Orioles, WBAL, on 10:90 a.m. 10:90. Boston, WEEI, 6:80 a.m. 6:80 a.m. for Boston. Chicago White Sox, WMVP, 1000 on the dial. Chicago Cubs, WGN, 7:20 a.m., 7:20. Cincinnati Reds, WLW, 700 a.m., 700 a.m. to Cincinnati. Cleveland, WKNR, 1220 a.m., 1220, drop. Detroit, WJR, 760, Detroit, WJR, 760 a.m. Of course, there's quite a few teams which I will not give out, no offense. Kansas City, Houston, Florida, you know, it's going to be tough to get them. But the Midwest, you should be able to get these here. Milwaukee, WTMJ, 620 a.m. Milwaukee Brewers, 620 a.m. Minnesota Twins on 830 a.m., WCCO. Minnesota Twins on 8:30 a.m. Montreal Expos, 600 a.m. Montreal Expos on 600 a.m. Getting closer to home, Philadelphia Phillies on WGMP, which is 1210 a.m., 1210 on the a.m. dial. And, of course, old favorite Pittsburgh, KDKA, on 1020 a.m. That's an easy one to get, 1020 a.m. on Pittsburgh. And just two more, St. Louis, this one you can get, the Super Radio 3 will really pull this one in, KMOX, 1120 a.m., St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX, 1120 a.m., and the Toronto Blue Jays on the Fan, that's what they call it up there, like 66 down here, that's 590 kilohertz for the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's it, Ed. And I'll be listening over here. I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Easter and Passover. And I'll just be listening out for the comments. And to VRA, back to you, Ed.
Thank you very much, Frank, for all that good info on especially sports frequencies. Much appreciated. And stick around, because as soon as the net is over, I'll give you a call on frequency, and we'll get into that cover letter. All right. The next one we have... is Hank. Well, first of all, other than Hank, GCN, is there anybody else who has AMDX info? That's not the question I asked. The question I asked is, other than Hank, GCN, is there anybody who has? Okay. So hearing nothing, we'll go to Hank, with the AMDX, and then Hank, you can just automatically segue right into shortwave. So take it away.
Okay, WB2RBA, introducing a reason why I stated that is because you skipped me over under your product review or mention, so I might as well give it right now so I have a chance to. Okay, last Thursday night on Radio Netherlands Farm Club Media Network, they mentioned two Grundig receivers that are due out in the summer months. Supposedly, anyway, the first radio is called the Grundig Yachtboy 360, the 360, that's the budget version of the Yachtboy 400. It's 40 channel memory, has keypad entry, and has not been reviewed yet, but that should be coming pretty soon. It's going to sell for retail price of $155. The other receiver due out on the market is called Yachtboy 320. The digital digital receiver, no keypad entry, buttons to tune up and down. This goes for $125, and I guess like you said before, like this is an Matter of fact, when it was mentioned on Thursday night, my instinct told me something about this receiver. What they did do was kind of like mentioned about another receiver that's in the laboratory there in Radio Netherlands, being tested the 305, which I do believe was reviewed at one time, and they mentioned something about 305 and the 320, and said, oh, there's a problem. And sure enough, there was. If you look in the, I guess, current issue of Monitoring Times, there is a review in it by Larry Magny of the radio, and it surely got a very poor review. So the radio's gone for $125, but I went to spend $125 for this radio to get it. It's a real clunker. And so anyway, it's a 360 by Grundig, and the other one is 320. Let me drop it. Okay, let me get to my AM DXing, and while I was sitting here waiting to go on the air, I picked up a couple other ones for you. Okay, of course, like as Frank mentioned, the baseball season got underway, and it goes without saying, if you know me already, you know my passion for baseball. And yes, I can say it's my turn. Now it's baseball season time, and I'm happy and thrilled. And here's my first one. USAM medium wave station called WMVP, like Frank mentioned, most valuable player, in Chicago, Illinois, 50,000 watt station. On a frequency of 1,000 kilohertz, again, 1,000 kilohertz, I picked up at 9:12 p.m. Reception was fair. And I listened to the game between the Chicago White Sox and Seattle Mariners. This was the opening night on Sunday night. Of course, the Mariners came back and beat the White Sox, which I couldn't believe. I didn't listen to the entire game. The White Sox were on WMAQ up until this year. Last year, they were on MAQ on 670, and they moved up to WMVP from now on. Anyway, I first logged this station in as MVP on May 25th of 95, unless you put it here on January 16th. Let's drop it. God. Anyway, January 16th. And that is the change right there. Next one, Canadian AM. Again, a Canadian AM station, medium wave. The station CHML. CHML via Hamilton, Ontario. 50,000 watt station. On a frequency of 900 kilohertz. Again, 900. And it is 06 p.m. And, the session was pretty good. I heard the game last night between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Oakland A's. And this game was being played in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is very unusual. The first time a major league game has been played in a minor league ballpark since 1956-57 when the Brooklyn Dodgers played in Roosevelt Stadium. And I believe it was in, I can't remember now. I know it's Newark, New Jersey. Anything near Newark, New Jersey, something like that. I remember that. But anyway. And I listened to quite a bit of the game. The Blue Jays were winning 6-2 at that time. So anyway, CHML from Hamilton, Ontario. First heard this station on February 9th of 82. Last part of this night on North Ontario of 93. And heard last night April 1st of 96. Let me drop it. My next logging Canadian AM medium wave station called CKLY. CKLY via Lindsay, Ontario, a 10,000 watt station. On a frequency at 910 kilohertz at 12:19 a.m. This was much poorer than CHML. Excuse me. Oh, God. They also were playing, had the Blue Jay game on. Simulcasted with CHML, again, the Blue Jay station. And same thing, they were playing the Oakland A's. First logged in on April 13th, 85. That's the last time I heard the station, by the way, too. And we logged on April 2nd. Let me drop it. Okay, next station. Yeah, sent to GCN. I just picked this up while sitting here waiting a little while ago. Okay, AM station, medium wave, station called CFJR. CFJR, here, Brockville, Ontario. 5,000 watt station daytime and 1,000 watt night on 830 kilohertz. I was actually looking for the Minneapolis station, WCCO, and I heard this first. And something like having a radio sit on a frequency or, say perk. And a radio perk right into this one. On 8:30 kilohertz, again, 8:43 p.m. this evening. Reception was kind of poor. All I heard was the ID and some music. Couldn't figure out what the music was. But anyway, Picked up tonight. Brand new station. Never heard of before. And this is on April 2nd. Let me drop it. And the last one. Actually, I got more. Let me give those out, too. USAM Medium Wave station called WCCO. WCCO via Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a 50,000 watt station on a frequency of 830 kilohertz at 9:32 p.m. And so I was listening, listening to the game too. Reception was fair. This is a station for the Minnesota Twins, and they were playing the Detroit Tigers, and they were losing 7-1 to Detroit. First heard this frequency or station on March 21st of 83. Nice report on this net, January 23rd, 96. And April 2nd, just a little while ago, tonight I picked it up. And other notables that were heard this evening, the other ones were WGMP, as Frank mentioned, WGMP, 1210 kilohertz, Philadelphia Phillies are playing the Colorado Rockies, and I think the Phillies may pull that game out. They were losing, they finally pulled it out. The other one, WJR 760, I heard that first before I heard the Minnesota station. I think for the first time, I heard a game where I heard one station, one team's station, the other one, in other words, Tigers and Twins. I first put on the Tigers station, WJR, first, on 760. And then went back to 830 and heard WCCO, Minnesota Twins, so that was kind of unique hearing both ends of it. Anyway, 760, WJR, Detroit, Michigan, Detroit Tigers, and of course, with Frank mentioning, KDKA, Pittsburgh, from the Pirates, and then WCCO, 830, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Minnesota Twins, and that takes care of that. We dropped it to GCN. Okay, sent to GCN again for ID, and the question, I'm going to answer the question for a gentleman. It's an international broadcast. I know you don't like this too often much, but I'll do it anyway, since you asked. The first one is on Cuba. Radio Havana Cuba in English, and I did try the three frequencies out of the wall ago, and they're all propagating in. First frequency to check out is 6,000 kilohertz. Before I do that, we already have the page open for Iraq. Unfortunately, Iraq does not have English anymore. If they do have it, it's pretty sporadic, and all they do is saving their transmitter. As you know, there's a sanction on right now, trade sanctions against Iraq, and they can't get parts of their transmitter, so they only got to their basic languages other than English, and it's basically Arabic, Persian, and Turkish, and whatever else. It's called Radio Iraq International. What's the time? It's time to be known as Radio Baghdad. So anyway, no more English on Iraq. Unfortunately, we can't put up hear what they're saying. They have probably the transmitter parts and also fuel, too, I guess. Well, fuel, they wouldn't be a problem. Parts is a problem for them. Let me drop it. Okay, now let's go to the Radio Havana Cuba. And currently, as I speak, they're on here. I'm going to turn it over to the page for Radio Havana, give you much better detail on the time. Anyway, you can check out right now, 6,000 kilohertz, 9830, 9830, and up the sideband. And also the other one is 9820, 9820 on AM. Again, 6,000. 9820 and 9830 off the sideband. Let me give you a full schedule on that. Let me drop it. Give me a second just to get to Havana, Cuba. And let's see. Here we are. Okay, Rio, Havana, Cuba. To North America. Here are these frequencies. Hopefully you understand it's UTC, I hope. So 01, in English, from 01 to 02 hours UTC. To North America, frequencies on 6,000 kilohertz. 9830 up the sideband, again that's 0102. North America, 6000 and 9830 up the sideband. So 0204 hours, 0204. 6000 kilohertz, again 6000, 9820, 9820, and 9830, 9830 and up the sideband. And last one I'll give you for the time being, this one should be good enough for a while, maybe a few more next week, I guess. 05 to 07 hours, from 05 to 04 to 05 hours, from 04 to 05 hours, UTC on 6180, 6180, and has interference bars with the BBC, 9820, 9820, and 9830, and up the sideband. That's for Radio Havana, Cuba. And next for China, let me drop in on China Radio International's frequency this time. Alright, and this is good for the rest of April, as far as R told me. I mentioned that. Here are frequencies and times for China Radio International, used to be known as Radio Beijing. They are from midnight to 01 hours, from midnight to 01 hours UTC. They can be heard on 9710, that's 9710, plus 11715. That's 11715 via Mali, Africa, to relay of China Radio International. Midnight to 01 hour UT on 9710 and 11715 via Mali. from 03 to 04 out UT, from 03 to 04 out UTC, on frequency at 9690, 9690 via Spain, and then 9710, 9710, and 11715 from Mali. Again, these are relays. If he wants me to, in the future, give him, well, forget about that, I don't think we'll be able to hear it now. There's one direct from China, so I won't get to see it now. Next time period from 04 to 05 hours, from 04 to 05 hours, frequency is 9730, 9730 via French Guiana. And the last transmission is from 05 to 06 hours, from 05 to 06 hours UTC on a frequency of 9560, 9560 via Canada, Radio Canada's international transmitter site. And that's all over from China Radio International. Hopefully that'll be a big help. Sorry about Iraq. Oh, I know, one more is Iran, I believe. Let me drop it. Okay, the last one is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. One time period is 030, excuse me, 030 UTC on 9022, I believe it is, 9022. The other frequency is supposed to use 6175, but that's just appealed by the BBC. In the afternoon, I know they have one at around 1930 UTC on 9022 and 1930 UTC for the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Hopefully the gentleman has got all those information down. Okay, let me drop my short information I have. Oh, utility, sent your sheets again. Okay, sorry about that. I've got a little frog right through. Okay, here's my information for the evening. Meeting lives on 17263.0. Hopefully people are still awake. 17263.0 and up inside then at 1652 UTC, 1152 AM. Bar Maritime Mobile Station, it calls ZSC, Zulu Sugar Charlie 28, Cape Town Radio, South Africa. The coast channel is 1608. It was quite weak, but audible. Within, as Sydney said, their ID was International Radio and Telephone. And they gave us the different bands they operate, let's say 4, 6, whatever. And the ID was Cape Town, or Cape Town, Cape Town Radio, I should say. And this was until 1654, basically, station information. First hard to send on January 7th of 1992, picked up again on March 29th. Let me drop it. Okay, my next logging on 13164.0, and it's 13164.0 on the side band at 1234 p.m. It doesn't matter. 1234 p.m. I usually don't do that. U.S. Maritime Mobile, actually, it would be 1734 UTC, too, by the way. U.S. Maritime Mobile, station WOM with the Oscar mic. Mexico, Miami Radio, Florida, Coast Channel 1230. The only thing I heard was ID and CW, since their frequency was idle. And a lot of these stations do that now. When the frequency is idle, they just put out the ID and CW. And, of course, that's from DEWOM, which is the Oscar mic. First log is in on July 2nd of 91. Latest logging is on March 29th. Next on 10470.9, again it's 10470.9 CW. At 2045 UTC or 4:45 p.m., Foreign Military, the station called SDC. Fox Delta Charlie, the station is called METS, that's METZ. Frascati is spelled Frascati Air in France. This is the French Air Force. The ID message was 9B from DEFDC. Listed frequency is 10.470.4. Our first log descendant on September 27, 1994. And we logged on March 29th, 1996. Let me drop it. Okay, that's the GTN. My next logging on 17251.0. 17251.0 on the sideband at 2207 UT or 507 PM. Canadian Maritime Mobile Station called VCS, Victor Charlie Sierra. Halifax Coast Guard Radio, Nova Scotia. The Coast Channel 1604. With marine weather for Canadian waters, basically off the coast or around Lake Maritime. First log descent on December 10th of 91, last reported this at January 25th of 94, and we logged on March 29th of this year, of course, very weak, but audible. Let me drop it. Okay, I have two more to go there, and that'll be it. Next one on 10033.0, again, it's 10033.0 up the sideband, at 2229 UTC or 529 PM. HF Aeronautical Mobile, the station call is Miami Radio, Florida. The second frequency I picked up on the station. I think it's pretty new, at least on HF. This station is Long Distance Operational Center, LDOC. I heard Connie, I don't know who this airline really is. It could be a freight company or something like that. I think it was called Connie. I heard Connie Air on flight 807 and also Connie 811. They both asked for a phone patch. with County Operations. County 807 was out of San Pedro, and I looked at the map, there's a whole bunch of San Pedro, so I'm not sure what country that came from. And it was heading from Miami. And the other state, other aircraft was County 811, and he came out of San Domingo heading from Miami. And he was due to land at Miami around 2359 UTC on this date. Brand new frequency, that was on March 29th, and I have one more to come. And the last one for the week is on 6501.0. Again, 6501.0 and up in sideband at 0444 UTC, 11.44 PM. U.S. Coast Guard, the call is NMO, November Mike Oscar, Comstead, Halu, Hawaii. The Coast Channel 601. I heard Halu, Comstead, and something about cardiac arrest, I should say. It was hard to make out. There was a thunderstorm someplace. I don't know where, but it was a freaking lightning strike. And then eventually, I heard him say something about a Coast Guard cutter he was starting to call the Forward Star. First of all, it was on September 22nd of 93. Well, that was the last time I actually heard it, too, by the way. About the 2nd of September of 93. Last recording this and on September 28th of 93. And he logged in on March 31st. So it was pretty interesting to hear Radio Hawaii or Concept Honolulu. It was going to waltz with that area there. So anyway, that takes care of that, Aaron. Have a good weekend. Have a nice holiday. Look at B2RVA, NTGC, and over to you.
Thank you, Hank, for all the information, and thank you, of course, for helping James and Elmont. I'm sure that if he's listening or if he's going to check his tape, that would be a great help to him. All right, let's just see if there's anybody I left out inadvertently or whatever. Any last comments from anybody? Our clock here shows about 2 minutes after 11. Okay, hearing nothing. We'll close the net at 11:02, latest it's ever been. And thank everybody who checked into the net, especially those who brought info, query, and comment. And our thanks to Steve, WB2WAK, for the use of the repeater and the electricity and the equipment and all that stuff, too. And for anybody out there who didn't catch the name and address, if you want more information about our group, we don't charge for anything, really. Or if you'd like a sample copy of our newsletter, my name is Ed, E-D, and the address is 2134 Decker, spelled D-E-C-K-E-R, Avenue, North Merrick, spelled M-E-R-R-I-C-K, New York, 11566. Send a stamped addressed envelope, and we'll send you information on how to become a member and also a sample copy of the newsletter. So we'll call the net to quit, and I'd like to go over to Frank now. The net is over, and we'll just finish off that one piece of personal business into VRA, WB2RBA. Ready to copy.
Okay, Ed, thank you very much. I appreciate the extra time over here. World record for the net, and it was a good one as usual. I received the information. Thank you very much. A professional job there for sure. And in regard to table A or table B, whatever, my wife will take care of that on a word processor, and I'll double-check it to make sure that everything is in order. My question is the format for the cover letter. We'll be meeting in a couple of weeks, and I'll have this thing all together. Maybe at the meeting, you could bring me a sample of the cover letter and to whom it should go, a few particulars, unless you'd rather just give it to me now, whatever. Over to you.
Frank, I think you should get that in the mail as soon as you can, you know, as soon as Patty is able to type up the table A and so forth. Let me start at the top of the letter, and we'll make it as basic as possible. I don't want to be insulting. I'm just going to make it very basic. All right, at the top, as we all learned in grammar school, you put your address and the date. And right under that, you have the name. Send it to the managing editor of that magazine. And, you know, Mr. John Jones, managing editor, name of magazine, address of magazine, dear Mr. So-and-so. And the first paragraph basically says what you're doing. I am enclosing a copy of an article and then you give the title for possible use in name of magazine, and that's your whole first paragraph. You're telling the guy, here's an article with the title of the article for possible use in your, or you could just say in your magazine. And the second paragraph basically is saying, I am also enclosing a stamped address, SASE, in case you are not able to use the article. That's a very short paragraph. And the third paragraph basically says, thank you for your consideration, sincerely. And that's about it. The article is in single space form, and through experience I have found that's not a problem. A long time ago, the editors would want to do it in double space so they could edit and so forth, but I find now that you can send articles a lot of places, and I guess they must hit it with a scanner, a computer scanner, and they just enter it into their own computer, and they probably do any editing on screen. So again, starting at the top, your address and the date, title of the guy and address, dear Mr. So-and-so, first paragraph, I'm closing the article on such and such for possible use in your magazine. Second paragraph, I'm also enclosing an SASE in case you cannot use it. And thirdly, thank you for your consideration. And that's about it. That's as bare bones as you get. And it does not contain any superfluous. You know, these people read so much in the daytime that the quicker that you can, you know, it's business-like, but the quicker you can make it, the better they can just zap right through it. And then they take a look at the article. Back to you, Frank.
Thank you very much, Ed. I recorded all that. And the phrases are faster than a New York minute. But in this case, it's going to Portland, Oregon. So I guess it's hyperland over there, too, as things are in 1996. I want it yesterday time. And I'm willing to pay for it if I can get it tomorrow. So, all right, I appreciate that very much, Ed. Thank you. And look forward to having the eyeball at the next meeting at Nathan's at 107. And I am working on another article. I hope to have it finished this week, but it's not going to happen. A little personal intervention over here, some family members kind of threw the monkey wrench into things and partially into next week. So hopefully I'll have it by the end of next week. It should be complete, and perhaps I'll even bring it to the meeting, or I'll send it out to you. We'll see what happens. But anyway, very good. Appreciate the good info. And I'd like to wish you and yours a very happy Easter. And we'll catch you next Tuesday. It's a pleasure, as always. WB2RVA and 2VRA.
It's my pleasure, Frank. The least I can do for all the help that you've given us over the years, too, with your, not only the information that you've mailed in, the articles and so forth, but your participation on the net, too. That's much appreciated. And what I did because it was fun to do. You know, that's not work for me. I'm putting the finishing touches on a book right now, which has nothing to do with scanning. And I won't get into the subject on the air, but I hope that I can, this will be the first time that I have merchandised a book under my name. I've been able to write books for other people, but, and that's how I made some money in my green years. But I've got something now, I think, which is going to be saleable. Okay, let you go. I'm going to go to bed. I'm tired. This is too much for an old man. So we'll see you next week, Frank. Into VRA. No, not the net anymore. WB2RVA saying 73 and going QRT. Good night.
Okay, Ed, thanks again. And good night, and do have a good holiday. And all those listening on the net, do the same. I'm going to go QRT, but I've got to go on canine patrol now. Take those mongrels out for a walk. Actually, they're taking me out for a walk at this hour. It's good for 20 minutes. A little exercise. Good night, Ed. 73. Pleasure. And 2VRA, clear.